our beloved founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, has given us on behalf of this great Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara a very simple instruction which brings such fulfillment and excitement to life. He told us we should always see through the eyes of the scriptures. That a learned person does not see with his eyes, but sees with his ears. What we may witness in the world, we must learn to process that information through the knowledge we have heard from the Holy Scriptures and the great saintly people. Therefore, anything that happens in this world, in our own life, in the lives of those around us, or in national or international events, we try to interpret that in such a way that it gives us real understandings and realizations which bring us closer to Krishna. And this is how we should always be observing the world. Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ishopanishad. These are the great Vaishnava scriptures that are the very foundation of our spiritual life. When we're hearing this knowledge and discussing it amongst devotees, it becomes the means by which we understand everything around us within this existence. Recently, within the news of India and the news of the world, there was a very prominent event that took place that literally had the whole nation of India at the edge of their seats wondering what to do, how to do it. There were such serious consequences to making the slightest type of error in this regard. And the whole planet Earth was watching. Who knows what this incident was? Does everyone know about this hijacking? It was a very unfortunate experience. Not something to be laughed about, because there was suffering and death. However, even in the most unfortunate situations, we should try to draw parallels of what lesson it is teaching us about the reality of life. With your permission, I will share with you some observations. First, briefly, we'll go through this hijacking affair. That about 180 passengers boarded an Indian Airlines Airbus. Airbus means the best in their fleet. And they were in Kathmandu. Some were on honeymoon. I'm sure you all know what honeymoon is. It's the time to enjoy, like never before. And they were taking a flight from Kathmandu to Delhi. How many flights depart and arrive in airports throughout the world every day? thousands and thousands and thousands. At O'Hare International Airport in Chicago, thousands a day alone from one airport. And Heathrow Airport is bigger. Tens and thousands of airlines are going up and down every day. So there's not much to worry. Everyone got on this flight. However, hijackers appeared out of nowhere with weapons and ultimately took the plane to Kandahar, where they had 180 approximately hostages. Not only did they suffer, but how their family suffered, and how the world was in terror of what had happened. But ultimately, by some negotiations, we are very happy to say that they came back. In the Holy Scriptures, it is explained that the human body is a chariot. There are five horses representing the five senses that are pulling this chariot. The ropes is the mind, because the mind is meant to control the senses. The driver holding the ropes is the human intelligence, which is meant to direct the mind. So if the mind is controlled by the horses, then we are in a very dangerous situation. But if the good intelligence controls the senses through the mind on the basis of the true needs of the passenger, who is the Atma, the spirit soul, then we could travel to our true destination in life. And what is that destination? The spiritual world. Now, in Vedic times, this was the common way of traveling, through chariot. So really, the body is a vehicle. But in this age of Kali, what is the best type of chariot? The airplane. Correct? So we can compare the human body to an aeroplane. And the soul, the Jivatma, is the passenger in that airplane. And the pilot is the intelligence, and his controls is the mind. So, in human life, this airplane is meant to take us to a particular destination, the spiritual world, where we'll find eternal happiness in the service of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. When a human being takes to Krishna consciousness, or spiritual world, what happens is your consciousness becomes a disputed, divided area. Something like Kashmir. Because when you take to spiritual life, you understand my consciousness is the property of Krishna. But at the same time, we have all these influences of Maya. And part of our consciousness wants to surrender to Krishna, and the other part of our consciousness wants to enjoy endless sinful activities. How many of you have this experience? We have already given our consciousness to Krishna. It's Krishna's property. But still, there's a part of it, a vast part of it, that is still egoistic. rebellious, independent. So when we take to Krishna consciousness, there will be terrible hostility between the mind and the intelligence, between Maya and our desire for Krishna consciousness. So we're on this airplane going back to the spiritual world. But there is a terrorist group headed by Maya Devi, the illusory energy. And her specific preacher is, in this age, Kali. And this Kali has training camps everywhere. In fact, we're sitting in one of them. Everywhere where there's not pure Krishna consciousness spoken, it is the camp of training of Kali to teach people how to be enjoyers, how to be exploiters. And if you're a devotee, they will all be coming to try to take your mind away from Krishna, to try to claim the full property of the disputed area. Are my parallels making sense so far? So as devotees, we're on this wonderful airship of the human life, traveling back home, back to Godhead. What Maya will do is she will send her hijackers. And who are these hijackers? The five enemies: lust, envy, anger, pride, greed, and illusion. How many hijackers are on that plane? Actually, five? These are not accidents. It's a lesson for the world. These are our enemies, and they're living right within our hearts. And it's their duty to somehow or other hijack the soul and bring this plane of human life to Kandahar. to the material conceptions of existence. So this human life is hijacked. And these hijackers bring us into the material concept of life, bound down to the material bodily concepts, and then the Atma is like a hostage. Atma means the body, the mind, and the soul. All three become hostages of Maya. Imprisoned. Hostage means like a prisoner. You can't get out. And this is what happens when a devotee is negligent, becomes imprisoned by material desires, by lust, by anger, by pride, by greed, by illusion, by envy. And once you become taken like a hostage of Kali's forces, it's practically impossible to escape. Now, how to prevent this from happening in our lives? Proper security. Is that what they're not talking about now? Proper security. What is our security? strong, attentive sadhana. Very carefully observing the regulative principles and keeping the association of devotees. Satsang. If we are very alert and attentive in these security measures, then the hijackers cannot enter into our consciousness and take us as hostages. Now, Kathmandu Airport had security, but it was inattentive. It was thinking, everything's all right. So many dozens of planes come in and out every day for so many years. There's no problem. So similarly, we're going on with our life. We're chanting Hare Krishna. We're taking some prasadam. We're meeting devotees and saying Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And we're thinking, I'm safe. It's not so important for me to chant attentively today. It's not so important for me to immerse my consciousness in Srimad Bhagavatam today. Because I've done it so many times. But we should know that these hijackers are being sent by Kali like terrorists, waiting scrutinizingly for some inattentiveness in your security so that they can enter right through and take you hostage. Hostage of illusion. Hostage of the mortal pains of material existence. So therefore, if we know this situation, we have to be very, very careful at every moment to have very high security. That means to chant Hare Krishna attentively every day. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
To bathe our consciousness in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the holy scriptures. Very carefully follow the regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. And to avoid too much intimate association with people who are trying to impel us to engage in sense gratification. And to protect ourselves with the association of devotees who are inspiring our hearts on the path of bhakti. If we simply follow these simple security measures, the hijackers of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion cannot in any way disturb our route of traveling back home, back to Godhead. But if we are inattentive, we will be hostage of Maya. And we have seen, even sincere devotees, when they are inattentive, once they become hostages, and Maya just steals away their consciousness and redirects their human life again toward puna punas charavata charavananam, the process of chewing that which we've already chewed. It's very, very difficult to escape. We're like prisoners of lust. So these are a few of the observations I have made on the current events of India and the world. And actually, we should be trying to see how Krishna is teaching us in every situation of life within the world. In both the auspicious and the inauspicious appearances there's a very divine message to be understood. The reality of material life. The reality of the spiritual world. And the very lessons of how we can achieve that platform of liberation. In every situation, we must learn to be very humble and cry out for the mercy of Krishna. I doubt if there was much false ego being demonstrated by the hostages. They were probably behaving more humble than they ever did in their whole lives. Huh? It is said a humble person looks down, they don't look up. They weren't even allowed to look up. One person looked up and was shot. They had to look down. Whether they were wealthy, whether they were big people in society, they were like slaves, they were prisoners. But factually, the whole world is under that same subjugation by Maya, by the illusory energy, simply controlling us. So if we want real freedom, we have to protect ourselves by chanting Hare Krishna, by having our mind fixed on the goal. Vyavashayatmaka buddhir eke hakuru nandana bahushaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavashayanam. Krishna says those who are on this path, they are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. But those who are not, their intelligence is many branched. Hare Krishna. With every blooming of a flower, with every song of a bird, in both the sorrows and the joys of life, we can find great fulfillment. If we're trying to understand, what is Krishna trying to teach me? If we try to see everything through the eyes of the scriptures, then life becomes the most exciting, fulfilling adventure at every moment. And in every moment we come closer and closer and closer to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Indian Institute of Technology is a very prestigious college for higher education. And you are all very fortunate that by the grace of God and your own hard work, you've somehow or other been given entrance into this facility. So with it will come the power of the highest level of education, material education, within this nation. And also along with it will come much prestige, so many opportunities for prosperity in the future. If you keep tight security in your life, you could use all these gifts for the ultimate welfare of human society and in the service of God. You're being given the opportunity to do so much in Krishna's service. If you see it that way, be truly blessed. Always remain in the mood of a humble servant. Always recognize that whatever knowledge or abilities you have is by the grace of God. We may work hard to develop it, but if without God's grace we have nothing to develop. Some people may say, but I've worked so hard for this diploma or this degree. But if God did not give you the basic facility of intelligence to develop, what would your hard work do? So Krishna gives everyone a potential. And it's our free will how we're going to utilize that potential and who we're going to utilize it for. So our humble request to all of you is be the best student you could be. But what does that mean? That means be moral examples by your behavior. Illustrate the principle of bhakti in your life and who you're offering the fruits of your actions to. Arjuna, he worked very hard in his college. His professor was Dronacharya. He studied very good, did his homework very well. Dronacharya would teach him something, he would stay up all night practicing. The next day it would be perfect. He was a real student. But after he got his degree, as you can say, then he took that education and used it for Krishna's service. And that was his glory. Duryodhana also graduated from Dronacharya. He also got a tremendous amount of learning that he acquired. But he did not use it for Krishna. So do well. You should do your studies as best as you can. With what intention? That the more I learn while I'm here during this time, the more I could use for the rest of my life in the service of Krishna. But then be true to your word and use it for the service of Krishna throughout your life. Be a leader within society and show by your behavior, by your example, how to love Krishna. Krishna chose the best men in the world to be his devotees. Arjuna, Yudhisthira. Most talented to lead humanity on the path of devotion. So you are very fortunate. What the leaders do, the common people will be influenced and follow. You are all being groomed to be leaders of society. Lead people toward the real goal of life. Lead people in such a way by your example that people could take these airplanes and bypass Kandahar Airport and return to our original home, Goloka Vrindavan. Thank you very much. Is there any, would you like to make any comments, Gauranga Prabhu?
So, now we're going to put opportunity to clarify any doubts, inquiries, and questions. If you have any doubts of any kind, you can please clarify, because it's very, very difficult to get association of such wonderful devotees like Radhanath Maharaj. So if you feel that you have some doubt which you really want to clarify, which is creating a great impediment in your development of faith, this is a very good opportunity. So you can have some time for questions. Those who have questions can raise their hands. Also, I would like to comment, I would like to welcome a very special guest today. We have Professor Pushpa Bhattacharya from the Computer Science Department. He's been attending our programs very regularly and taken great interest in the Krishna consciousness process. He's been reading about the life and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita, very regularly. And he's very enthusiastic in participating in our programs and also contributes in many ways for inspiring devotees here. Although he had a very busy schedule in the evening today, especially came to take darshan of Radhanath Maharaj and hear from him. We are very grateful to Professor Bhattacharya. I would request all the students here to welcome Professor Bhattacharya also to today's
program.
He's going to ask the first question.
So, if you could again explain that shloka you said, whoever has help, we have it.
It means that those who are in the path of Krishna consciousness, they must be resolute in purpose. They must have determination. Their aim must be one. Otherwise, our mind and intelligence is many-branched. It is taken away by any of the various objects of the senses through our senses. That is our tendency. Our mind wanders here, our mind wanders there, our senses want this, our senses want that. But with our intelligence, we have to be determined. No. I will say yes to Krishna and I will say no to Maya. This is the definition of Goswami. One who says no when the senses want to engage in sinful or materialistic activities, and one who says yes to the senses when they want to engage in devotional service, that is Goswami. So we must have determination. Rupa Goswami has said we should accept what is favorable for devotional service, we should reject what is unfavorable for devotional service. But we cannot do that unless we are resolute in our purpose, unless our aim is one, that I'm going to do what is right. I'm going to please Krishna. That is important. You have read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Maharaj Prataparudra. Prataparudra. Maharaj Prataparudra was the king of Orissa. He had vast armies, immense wealth, great popularity. But his consciousness was so fixed in what Krishna Das Kaviraj calls dhritavrata. He had a firm vow of determination that the goal of life is to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was asked to have an interview with the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Rai both appealed to the Lord, please give the king your interview. He said, no, I will not. I am sannyasi. I cannot mix with materialistic people who are involving their lives too much with wealth and women. They said, but he's a great devotee. But Sriman Mahaprabhu said, but the fact that he's a king means he has to associate with all these materialistic phenomena. I will not see him. Mahaprabhu said, to see a materialistic person trying to enjoy materialistic life is worse than drinking poison willingly to a person who wants to cross over this ocean of birth and death and achieve the mercy of Krishna. So he refused. When they told Maharaj Prataparudra, he decided, if that is the case, I will give up my kingdom. I will give up my family. I will become a beggar on the street. I am determined. That's what I will do if that is what is required to get the mercy of the Lord. Because without the mercy of the Lord, this whole human existence is a waste. There's no reason to live. So that is an example of being resolute in purpose and aim is one. Of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just trying to glorify the king, to teach us what it means to be vyavashayatmaka buddhir ekeha kuru nandana. To the extreme example, we may not be able to imitate such a soul, but we have to learn to follow in his footsteps according to our capacity. So of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not only did he keep him in his kingdom as the king with his family, but Mahaprabhu, because of that king's determination, Lord Chaitanya embraced his son with such love and affection that that son's heart was erupting with ecstatic love of God for the rest of eternity. Now naturally, a father is attached to the welfare of a son, whether you're a devotee or not a devotee. That is the nature of being father. When he saw his son trembling and crying in ecstasy, what a blessing that was for the king. He embraced his son, and when he embraced his son, because his son was embraced by the Lord, he got the same ecstasy as if he embraced the Lord directly. And later on, in that garden near the Gundicha Mandir, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled all the king's desires. With the blessings of the Vaishnavas, King Prataparudra came into that garden and was singing beautiful songs to Lord Chaitanya from Srimad Bhagavatam and massaging his feet and massaging his legs. And the Lord pretended not to know who he was, but he knew quite well. And he embraced him again and again. He bathed him with his tears. And he said, you are my best friend. You are most munificent. You have come to give me Krishna. So King Prataparudra remained as king. But his whole kingdom, his armies, his treasury house, his properties, his life, everything he used to serve Lord Chaitanya, to serve his devotees, to serve his mission by giving the compassion of the Lord to everyone in his kingdom. That is determination. Because as we were saying in this parallel story, Maya is always going to try to take us, our mind, our senses, and our soul hostage. She's going to send those hijackers to distract our life away from Krishna. Correct? If we are not resolute in purpose, if our aim is not one, then we will be inattentive. And our human life will be hijacked. again back into the ocean of material karmic activities. Does that answer your question? Any other questions? Do you have bodybuilders in IIT? Yes? How do they become strong? Huh? By lifting weights. The process of lifting weights means to actually struggle, to go against an energy. Because the weights are pushing down and you're trying to pull it up. Right? Very difficult. You're going against the laws of nature when you're lifting weights. Because the law of nature is gravity, to push everything down. And you're trying to take something that's going down and push it up. It's a struggle, it's a strain. So the law of nature in this material world is to make everybody proud, to infatuate a person's ego. It is said even a pauper is proud of his penny. The rich people, they're putting better diamonds around their necks than the other rich people. And the poor people, they also are competing with each other. I have a newer burlap bag to sleep on than you. Actually, it's like that. Everyone is competing against their peers to try to get a more prestigious position. Everyone wants honor. Everyone wants respect. So the nature of Maya is to pull our consciousness down to the egoistic platform. But our goal in life is to be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishmina amanina manatena kirtaniya sadahari. So what does it mean to become humble? It means you have to struggle against the natural course of material nature. We have to struggle and fight against our egoistic tendencies. And how to do that? By performing the tapasya of accepting the position of a humble and menial servant. It may be humiliating. It may be torturous for our ego. But a champion weightlifter, doesn't he torture his muscles to make them strong? To be a proper athlete, doesn't it take tremendous tapasya? To graduate from IIT, isn't it a tremendous tapasya? The nature of the intelligence is to be ignorant. If you just let your intelligence do what it wants, you'll be ignorant. Well, you're all at IIT. Why? Because you're willing to go against that tendency and struggle hard to study, to learn, to memorize. Is it a tapasya to graduate from this university? Yes? Is there any response? Just to stay in it? What to speak of graduate from it? You have to do tapasya. You'd probably rather just be sleeping or watching TV or something, but you have to study. Exams are coming again and again and again. So if you want to achieve anything worthwhile in life, you have to perform tapasya. But the ultimate tapasya is this principle of Trinadapi Suniche Natarodapi Sehishna Amanina Manadena Kiritaniya Sadahari. We have to struggle against the tendency of egoism, of exploitation. And we have to take the position of being a humble servant, however we feel. We should put aside how we feel, and we should do what feels best for Krishna. That is to serve, not to exploit, but to serve. Not to seek respect, but to give respect. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariyupashate tesham nityavayuktanam yogakshemam vahamya. If you just try your best, Krishna will give you the power to succeed. And we have to be constantly hearing about the humble Vaishnavas. We hear about Srila Haridas Thakur, Srila Rupan Sanatan Goswami. We hear about Pratap Rudra Maharaj. We hear about these great personalities, and we want to follow in their footsteps. Therefore, to be humble, we have to hear about the humble Vaishnavas. And we have to seek the association of those people who are striving to be humble in this world. And we have to keep very strong sadhana, so we have the strength of Krishna to endeavor. And through this process, it is guaranteed. We can experience the ultimate treasure of true spiritual humility. In that humility, we can understand the greatness and the glory of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. And in that comes ultimate bliss. In our own egoism will simply come disappointment and misery. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
There are discussions amongst devotees, or even with others, how to make sure that whatever we speak is increasing Krishna consciousness of ourselves and others. How to make the cup of this Krishna center.
Srila Prabhupada was told by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because you hear very nicely, therefore whatever you speak will be very nice. In fact, he told the editors of his magazines that whatever this Abhay Charanaravinda Day, Das Prabhu, whatever Srila Prabhupada writes, you should print it. Because he has heard from me very nicely. So the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, it begins with hearing. If we're hearing submissively and attentively from the right sources, we should be eager to repeat that to others. When we hear Harikatha, the treasure of Krishna's mercy through our ears is entering into our hearts. And we want to share that wealth with whoever we meet. Simply repeat. No need to speculate. No need to concoct. Simply try to repeat what we have heard from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. and try to use your good creative intelligence to do it in a very convincing and appealing way for others' benefit. And we should be sincere. If we are sincere in the mood of a servant, then whoever we come in contact with, we will want to help them. We will want to uplift them. So we'll speak what will uplift them. It is true that some people hear Hari Katha, and then they use that information to lord it over people, to push themselves up, to be worshipable deities. Sometimes big scholars who know the Bhagavad, the Gita, the Upanishads, and the more they learn, the more proud they become, the more egoistic they become, to the extent that they claim to be God, worshipable by all universe. That means they haven't heard a word of it. Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktoshi mesha kachedi rahasyam etad uttamam. That if you are my devotee, then you can actually understand what the scriptures are speaking. If you are my humble servant, then you can assimilate. So if we are sincere to serve, sincere to benefit others, we should be eager to hear, and we should be eager to repeat as a servant. And if you have that mood, Krishna will help you. Krishna will empower you to do what otherwise is unimaginable. Does that answer your question? Yes. The difference between mind and intelligence. There are 8 material elements, and each of them have many subdivisions. However, primarily, they are categorized as earth. Subtler element than earth is water. Subtler than water is fire, air, and ether, or space. Those are the gross elements. And there are 3 subtle elements: the mind, the intelligence, and the ego. Aparayamitvashtvanyam prakritim vinimeparam jivabhuta mahabaho yayetam daryatejaka. Besides this inferior energy, there is my superior energy. There is the soul, the jivatma, that is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, that is part and parcel of God. But temporarily, that soul is covered by the 8 material elements. So the function of the senses is to always be seeking satisfaction. The eyes want to see something beautiful. Actually, the soul is the real enjoyer or sufferer. The soul is the conscious force. The soul is by nature part of Krishna. It's looking for the ecstasy of loving Krishna. But when the soul forgets its relationship to Krishna, it's trying to look for pleasure through the ego, the intelligence, the mind, and the senses. So through the eyes, the soul is searching for some beautiful object to enjoy. Through the ears, through the nose, through the tongue, through the flesh. Yes? Now when these experiences come through the senses, the mind is being controlled by those experiences. The mind is relating to enjoying and suffering. Yes? I don't want this that's coming through the senses because it's causing me suffering, but I do want this because it's causing me enjoyment. So that's basically what the mind, how the mind is functioning. Now the intelligence is the discriminating factor. The perverted intelligence, if the mind sees, oh, this is a beautiful sight to the senses, the intelligence figures out how to get it. Yes? But when the intelligence is fixed on knowledge, the instruction of Krishna, we see, oh, this is a very beautiful form of enjoyment. The intelligence will say, no, this is Maya, this is illusion. Do you enjoy this? It is like licking the honey on the edge of a razor blade. You will enjoy a little and then you will suffer. That's what Gita says. Yehi samsparsha cha bhoga dukha jo nayevatye atyantavanta konte anate shuramate buddha. Shut up mind, shut up senses, and do what I say. Chant Hare Krishna. That's good intelligence. When the mind is being controlled by the intelligence, we go back to Godhead. But when the intelligence is controlled by the mind, we have said, the intelligence is, the mind says, I want this and I don't want that. I want to eat this, I want to see this, I want to hear this, I want to touch this. And the intelligence says, yes, I surrender. And figures out all kinds of strategic, divisive plans somehow or other, how to get it, how to satisfy the mind and senses' desire. Hare Krishna. In third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, Kama esha krodha esha rajoguna shumudbhava mahashino mahapapma vidye namiha vairanam. Lust only, Arjuna, which is the deadly, sinful enemy, symbol of sin, which is later transformed into wrath. Huh? We have to curb this lust, this propensity for unrestricted enjoyment. To enjoy apart from Krishna is called lust or kama. That same energy that's used in the service of Krishna becomes prema, the source of all happiness. So Krishna says from the very beginning we must curb this deadly symbol of sin, lust. How? By our good intelligence. Therefore, we have to read the scriptures. We have to strengthen our intelligence by satsang of devotees, by good sadhana. Then we have the power to discriminate and resist what's bad and pursue what's good. Krishna says in Gita that if the mind is controlled by the intelligence, the mind is the best of friends. But if the mind is not controlled by the intelligence, and it controls the intelligence, then your mind is your worst enemy. In Bhagavatam, Rishabhdev says, it is your only enemy, your own mind. Yoga means to control the mind by Krishna conscious intelligence. Does that answer your question? Yes, Prabhu. Going. Anyway, thank you very much. We are very honored by your coming. No, we are honored. Some prasad we were. Haribo, thank you. Please come and visit our temple sometime. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu. What is your association with
we see it as, we don't get any kind of feelings of, yes, I've seen it.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed us, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna so that he wants to see you. We should not think of the deity as an object of our enjoyment. We should approach the deity that we are an object of his enjoyment. Or in your words, we should not be trying to appreciate the deity, but we should act in such a way that the deity will appreciate us. And through this process, real appreciation will be born in your heart. In other words, to serve in a spirit of selflessness. That is how we will get actual appreciation of the deity. There's sentimental appreciation, where we come for our own purposes and the deity looks nice and, oh, Krishna is so beautiful today. That's nice. It's purifying, but it's not real appreciation, because the next day we think, oh, I don't feel like seeing Krishna today. I would rather watch television today. Today that will be my deity. So this accepting, rejecting means we haven't really learned to appreciate. We're appreciating on the mental platform, which at the beginning we're trying to at least do that. But we want our appreciation to be actually on the level of the soul. And that means that can only come by the grace of Krishna. When he sees we're sincere to serve, we're attentive to chant, we're submissive to hear, we're enthusiastic to preach, we're enthusiastic to humble ourselves to help others on the path of devotion. When Krishna sees that, then he will be so pleased that he will reveal within us real appreciation, permanent appreciation. And actually that appreciation is love. Real appreciation is love. That is not a cheap thing. That comes through a lifetime of sincere devotion. And we should not settle for anything less. Saguna explains that Krishna has an eternal form full of knowledge and bliss. Ishvara Paramakrishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadira Dira Govinda Sarva Karanakaranam. This is Lord Brahma's realization, that Krishna's form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. He is the supreme of all controllers. He's the cause of all causes, the source of everything. He's talking about the form of Krishna. He has spiritual qualities. He is not subjected to the inebrieties of the material modes of nature. There are three gunas, which means the three material modes of nature. Goodness, passion, ignorance. Tamaguna, rajaguna, sattvaguna. These modes of material nature are ruling over everything within this creation and causing so many transformations within this temporary phenomena. Because of the rule of material nature being impelled by the power of kala or time, everything is changing. Everything is dying on the physical level. Yes? Therefore, all material qualities are temporary and therefore they are sources of misery. But Krishna is nirguna because he has no material qualities. He is not in any way, shape, or form subjected to the three modes of material nature. Why? Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sachadacharam. Because he is the controller and the master of material nature. Tribir gunamayar bhavayar. Krishna says the three modes of material nature are working under my direction. I am not influenced by them. They are influenced by me. So Krishna is nirguna because he has no material qualities. All his qualities are spiritual and pure and perfect and eternal. So the impersonal philosophers, they consider that because all the material qualities are sources of misery, God must be nirguna without any qualities. But one who understands a higher understanding of the Shastras understands that means Krishna has no material qualities. But beyond the realm of material existence, there is a spiritual existence where Krishna has unlimited spiritual qualities that are all sources of bliss. Krishna is saguna, he has all spiritual qualities, but he's nirguna, he has no material qualities. That is the way the Vaishnavas understand. Does that answer your question? Yes? By association. If you associate with people who are convinced, then you will be convinced. If you associate with people who have doubt, then you will become deeper entrenched in doubt. So what you decide you want in life, you have to associate with that. What we associate with, we become like that. You put the iron rod in fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. You put the iron rod in ice, it becomes cold as ice. That is the law of association. If we want conviction, we must associate with those who have conviction. When we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we are associating with Srila Prabhupada. When we're associating with people who are not criticizing others, but who are humbly trying to serve and attentively trying to develop that conviction, then their association will help us tremendously. We need their association to stabilize our own faith. It's very important. Yes?
Sometimes people argue that they don't have faith on the scriptures, and in terms of spirit, how to convince them about that?
There's two ways. One is by studying the scriptures carefully and learning how to defend them through argument. And the other way is by your good behavior. We have seen devotees who can defeat in argumentation all opposition against the holy scriptures. But then their behavior completely defeats all of the conclusions that they have established. Whereas I have seen some simple housewives who just by their chaste, faithful, devotional behavior have eradicated all the doubts of even scholars. So Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami were speaking. Actually, it was Haridas Thakur who said it about Sanatan Goswami, or Sanatan Goswami to Haridas Thakur. That some people are very good at speaking and preaching, but they do not behave properly. And other people, they behave very nicely, but they don't know how to preach. But you are excellent preacher, and whatever you preach, you exemplify in your lifestyle. Therefore, you can deliver the whole world. Hare Krishna. So, that is our service. We try to live on that level. And ultimately, whoever we are, still people have their free will to accept or reject. And we cannot, when we're preaching, we're actually like beggars. A preacher considers himself that I'm simply begging this person to, we're not begging for anything material for ourselves. We're not begging to take anything from anyone. we're begging people to take the gift of the wealth of Krishna. Prabhupada said a devotee is never a beggar coming to look for wealth. Sometimes people are begging for chapatis, or begging for some chalalandal, or begging for some paisa. This is not Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is begging to give, not to take. And as a pretense of giving, sometimes he's with a begging bowl asking for roti, or chalalandal, or even paisa. But if his mentality is, I need money, then that is not correct. If his mentality, I'm trying to give this person the chance to engage in Krishna's service. I'm trying to give this person the opportunity. I'm begging this person to take Krishna consciousness, to take Krishna's mercy. When Srila Prabhupada was on Jaladuta sailing to America, he wrote that beautiful poem to Krishna and signed it, Your Insignificant Beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. He was coming to beg on behalf of Krishna, to beg the spirit souls to accept the ultimate wealth that he possessed on behalf of Krishna. So if we have that spirit of being servant, then we will be empowered to give Krishna to others. However, Krishna told the gopas when they went to beg from the yajnik brahmins, he said, sometimes as a beggar, some people will give and some people will abuse and refuse. You should not be attached. Just go on with your service. Never give up hope. Never be discouraged by the results. Sometimes we preach to people and we give so much of our life to them. Then they turn against us and try to destroy us. We've given our hearts, we've given our love. That's a type of ecstasy. And we should think, oh, Krishna is very merciful. He's giving me a chance to understand that my service was selfless, without selfish motives. Does that answer your question? About what? It's unnecessary. Bhima is the elder brother of Arjuna. Brother of Hanuman, son of Vayu. Is there any other question? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, Gopi Bharthur Padakamala Yoradasa Dasa Dasa Anudas. If you're always identifying with being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord's devotees, you will always have healthy relationships. If you see every Vaishnava as Prabhu and yourself as Das Das Anudas, then your relation would be healthy. But if you see yourself as Prabhu and everyone else as Das Das Anudas, then it's not healthy. In order to do this, you have to chant Harinam very carefully. Yes.
Everything seems to be predestined to happen, like the predictions of us, like we have come to take place. So the degradation in Kali also is predestined. So why do we make efforts to change the heart of people? Like, why do we make efforts? Degradation and everything is predestined by Krishna.
It is predestined that you have a choice. It is predestined that every spirit soul has a choice. And with your free will, you can make either the right choice or the wrong choice. It is predestined that the monsoon rains will come in June. Yes? But you have a choice whether you fix the hole in the roof and stay dry, or whether you leave the hole in the roof and suffer miserably. But the rains will come. So the influence of Kali is predestined. It will come, whatever you do. But you have the choice whether you will be transcendental and protected, or will you simply be victimized.
If everybody of us make this resolution, then how is Kali going to make its effect?
It's predestined that not everyone will make this. But just because everyone doesn't, it doesn't mean we shouldn't. Correct? Yes? You should chant in the way that you are most absorbed.
And then how about doing 16 rounds in a very slow pace?
That is all right. Whether you chant little fast or little slow, that is not what is important. What is important is we are absorbed in the holy name. And we should try to chant all of our 16 rounds absorbed in the holy names. It may take us 1.5 hours, it may take us 2.5 hours, but we should do it very as carefully as possible. That is the expression of our sincerity. If we're going overly fast just to get done, then we will not get the proper benefit. If we're going so slow that we can't complete our vow, then we will not also we will not make proper progress. So we have to balance so that we're as attentive as possible, and at the same time we chant our minimum. The instruction is Kirtaniya Sadahari, to chant constantly. Within Hare Krishna movement, it's very liberal. 16 is minimum. Of course, we may start with 1 or 2 or 5 or 8, just to gradually build up to 16. But we should come to the point in our life where 16 is minimum. And we should chant with as full absorption as possible. Don't worry if it takes longer. It's the most important investment of your life. Yes, that was a parampara amongst kings and kshatriyas that was lost. Our parampara, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, is a parampara of great, great rishis and sages. That is a continuous parampara. But the essence of the truth of parampara is one. And even if the parampara is unbroken, like it was in this parampara from Vivashwan to Manu to Itraku, it was broken for some time, but Krishna appeared to reestablish it and make it again perfect. So there are several paramparas that are all teaching the one supreme truth. Amongst the great sages and rishis, there is the Rudra Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Kumar Sampradaya, and Brahma Sampradaya. These are the four paramparas that are continuing to this day. Does that answer your question? Why people don't believe in God? Because of conditioning in this material world, the modes of nature condition people to want to be the enjoyer rather than the servant. And the nature of everyone is to believe in God. But when that enjoying spirit becomes so much like a fever, we consider God an impediment. We consider God's laws an impediment. And therefore, the mind rejects the conception of God just to justify our own independent, envious behavior. So it is due to long conditioning in this material world of exploitation that people lose faith in God. But through proper association, that faith could be reawakened. Because it's the nature of the soul to have faith. It's just covered by this cloud of conditioning. But through proper association, that cloud can be dissipated. Hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, we will gain conviction. You see, the best way to convince another is not simply through academic information, but through conviction and faith. Someone may speak tens and thousands of slokas to prove the existence of God. And a person just thinks it's all so many fanciful, superstitious ideologies. But another person who really has faith and conviction can just say a few words and convince you, yes, there is God. Do you know that most of the people who were sitting in his classes could hardly understand his Indian accent? They hardly understood what he was saying. A few words here and there they would get. But he totally convinced them to surrender their lives because he was so convinced. They could see what he was saying. Whatever few words that they could understand from what he was saying, it was with such conviction, with such realization, with such faith. It penetrated their hearts and transformed their lives. So if you want to convince others, the best process is to be convinced. One time Srila Prabhupada, in 1972 this happened. He looked at his leaders of the society. They were assembled in the room together. He said, "Are you convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" Now, if you ask each other this question, you could easily say, "Yes, I am convinced." But when Prabhupada is looking at right in your eyes and saying, "Are you convinced?" The first thing that happens is whatever doubts are in your heart to the surface. When you put the butter on the fire, all the impurities come to the top. Nobody could say anything. Srila Prabhupada said, if the people in this room right now were completely convinced that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we could make the world Krishna conscious in 18 days. That's how long it took the Pandavas to conquer the world. So there's no greater preaching than our own conviction and behavior, which is in harmony with that conviction. And to fortify that, both internally as well as in our presentation, we should try to understand, learn, and present the scriptures very best to our capacity. Does that answer your question? Yes?
Whereas when we study scriptures, they are mixed with impersonalism as well as Krishna's personal features.
That's because you're studying the wrong scriptures. Tasmat Gurum Prapadyate. If you don't study the scriptures under Guru, you'll never understand scriptures. Tad vijnanartham sagurum eva abhigacchet. This is from Mundaka Upanishad. It means that without Guru, the truth of the scriptures is never revealed. Tadvati pranipatina pariprasnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnanam jnanena satvidarshana. Scriptures, the essence of the truth of the scriptures is unapproachable unless we hear submissively from Guru with a willingness to render service to him. So if we have an authorized Guru, he will tell us which scriptures is best for us. And he'll give us the purports, the commentaries, according to parampara, of what it means. There were over 100 translations and commentaries of Gita in English language. Over centuries, not a single person came to the conclusion that Krishna's God, or I should be his devotee. Always think of me and become my devotee. Sarvadharman Parityasya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Abandon all varieties of religion, surrender to me. Aham Sarvasya Prabhava Mata Sarvam Prabhadate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Mata Parataram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Taranjaya. There is no truth superior to me. The constant theme of Gita is to surrender to Krishna. He's the absolute truth. And yet hundreds of translations and nobody ever became a devotee. Prabhupada wrote one translation and hundreds and thousands, millions of people are coming to Krishna because he's presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. So if you don't have proper spiritual master, you'll read scriptures and you'll say, this is about impersonalism, this is how about personalism. I'm bewildered, what should I do? Should I be God or should I serve God? Which one? This is a great dilemma. Half of me wants to become the absolute. Aham Brahmasmi. Soham. And half of me wants to be Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Ranitya Das. But the acharyas, they tell as it is. Acharyopashanam. One who sees through the eyes of acharya knows what is what. They will explain. Brahmiti paramatmiti bhagavaniti shabdyate. That the absolute truth is impersonal, personal, and localized within everyone's heart. But how the source of everything is Bhagwan. The impersonal existence of God is his expanded energies. Like the rays of the sun, emanating from the sun. And the Paramatma is his localized personal presence in every heart and between every atom and in every atom. But the source of all of that is Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, who lives in his eternal abode as the supreme enjoyer, performing lila with his infinitely ecstatic associates. So if we understand everything according to these principles, then when we see the impersonal idea, the personal idea, we could realize it in its perfect perspective. Otherwise, we're simply bewildered. So we must have spiritual guidance. Tasmat Gurum Prapadyeta Jigyasu Shayutamam. We must inquire from Guru. Otherwise, the scriptures will be confusing, and we will taste no real realization. Simply theoretical. Is there any other questions? Haribol, should we have kirtan? Thank you very much. It's my great happiness to be with all of you. You are effulgent with so much eagerness to hear about Krishna, as you have been blessed with very special fortune. And you have Gauranga Prabhu's very sublime association. He's a very humble and gentle devotee, a very great scholar of our shastras. He's my master. He is Gauranga Prabhu. He also has good sense of humor. And you have Gaur Hari Prabhu. Very selfless servant of all of you. He's very given his life to try to share the gift of bhakti with all of you. This is his glory. And Shyam Charan Prabhu, who has offered his home to be your home, where you can find the shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. Very special. How many people are willing to have a dozen students cooking in their house and eating every day? Having programs. Very selfless service. Very rare. These are rare souls who are amongst us. We should learn to appreciate them. In appreciating Krishna, in appreciating the devotees of Krishna, or in appreciation of the activities of the devotees of Krishna, we become very, very dear to Krishna. That type of appreciation, a sense of gratitude to the devotees or what they're giving or the mercy they represent, is one of the most purifying experiences in life. Thank you very much.